Michael Twitty is in one of his favorite places to cook. There aren't any fancy gadgets here, or even appliances. There is a giant crackling hearth.
Anything you can do in a modern kitchen, I can do here.
We're in the reconstructed kitchen of Colonial Williamsburg's Peyton Randolph House. At a small wooden table, Twitty pierces a picnic shoulder ham. He rubs in generous amounts of salt, brown sugar, and kitchen pepper.
More salt.
Twitty's making Madeira ham, using the same techniques mastered by enslaved people living here in the 18th century. He steps to the fireplace, where a large cast iron pot bubbles with aromatics.
So there's already bay leaf in there, and carrot, celery, and a little bit of onion, and onion with studded with cloves, which brings the flavor out of both.
Michael Twitty is a culinary historian, scholar, and historic interpreter. He's a TED Fellow and author of the award-winning blog Afro Culinaria. He's traveled across the South, unearthing stories about enslaved people and their influences on the American plate. He traces ingredients and traditions to their origins in West and Central Africa and diaspora communities in the Caribbean and South America.
Our Southern food heritage is really a multicultural act, and always has been, always will be. And it is an act through which people of African descent have illustrated not only contribution, but have also given a revolution in themselves. I mean, this is about the persistence of memory, our culinary culture, all of it. This is about, you know, where we come from. This is about, you know, preserving our roots and our routes. And it's an act of resistance against a system that was meant to oppress us and take away our heritage.
Michael Twitty has a long relationship with Colonial Williamsburg. He first came here when he was about 6 years old. His father wanted to see the guns and cannons, but Twitty wanted to see the food.
And we went out to, I think, Governor's Palace, and I must have stayed there for hours, 2-3 hours, watching him cook.
Decades later, Twitty says it's a bit surreal to be Colonial Williamsburg's first revolutionary in residence.
My mother always taught me that cliche, if you do what you love, the money will follow. Do what you love, the opportunities will follow. So we're getting there. We're getting there, but it's a little scary too, because I realized, you know, after a while, I'm one of the few people in the world who does this in the specific subject matter all the time as their livelihood, but also just their mission. And it's very daunting.
The Colonial Williamsburg Foundation's Penny Young Carrasquillo says the idea for the Revolutionary in Residence program came from a desire to reposition Williamsburg as a center of civil, interesting, and innovative discourse.
Not that all discourse here in the 18th century was civil, but we value that here in Williamsburg, and we want to hear new ideas from a variety of different kinds of people. We want to really point out that the 18th century was a very diverse place. America is diverse now, and we want to hear from a wide variety of people, and we want to hear a variety of ideas.
When I think of a revolutionary of thought especially, the moment I met Michael, he fit that bill.
Michael Twitty was a natural for the inaugural residency, says Colonial Williamsburg's Stephen Seals.
The fact that Michael is looking at all these years of culinary history, not just African or African-American culinary history, but culinary history, and he's looking at it and he's going, all right, the historians that came before me did a lot of work, but we now know more information. So let's now take that work and look at it in a different way and maybe bring some other voices into it so that we can figure out what it, even more so, what it truly means. And I don't know what's more revolutionary than that. I can't think of what's more revolutionary than taking the ideas of the past and turning them on their head or looking at them in a different way and going, okay, let's now see what that means and how that can affect or change the way in which we look at our identity and look at ourselves. I can't think of anything more revolutionary than that. And Michael does that every day of his life.
Dressed in period clothing as he cooks, Twitty goes beyond African ingredients and recipes. He discusses gender roles in the kitchen and fertility rituals connected to black-eyed peas. Chipping flakes off a brown sugar pyramid, he puts himself in the shoes of an enslaved adolescent.
That's the rich folk sugar. This is also pretty daggone valuable. Well, you can imagine a time when confections weren't exactly available to the common person. Can you even imagine what it would have been like for an enslaved kid to somehow get their hands on a cone of yummy brown sugar like this? How many deals and wheels you can make this one cone of brown sugar with all the kids in the neighborhood black and white?
Michael Twitty's research brought him to plantations across the South. He's labored in cotton and rice fields. He discovered his fifth great-grandfather was a white slaveholder in North Carolina. Other ancestors lived across Virginia.
You know, Southampton County, Virginia, going back to Henrico County, Virginia, Prince Edward County, Virginia, Appomattox, Buckingham. My ancestors were here in the 17th and 18th centuries onward. And some were sold out of Virginia, but a lot of them stayed. And so telling that story has been, for me, really foundational. You know, it transforms us from being what other people did, what they did, to what my people did. And once you kind of like uncover those stories and narratives, you can begin to connect the dots and know the places and people they were with. It really makes it personal. Transforms it from you from being something that's, you know, not just in your intellectual interest, but it's a part of you.
As part of the Revolutionary in Residence, Michael Twitty's working with Colonial Williamsburg's Foodways staff and historic interpreters. Part of the collaboration is testing historic recipes and adding some to the menus of local restaurants. Visitors can now learn about African-American culinary history by trying Madeira ham, Chesapeake crab gumbo, and Virginia barbecue mop ribs.
Showing people that a lot of the things we consider to be Southern food start right here in the Tidewater of Virginia. This is the heart of it all. People spread out from this region across the country, across the map. And so those recipes, you know, emphasize the fact that this is where so many of those, that food lore begins, and not just the recipes themselves, but the ideas about the food that go to the edges of this country and make its food tradition what it is today.
Michael Twitty's new book, The Cooking Gene, A Journey Through African-American Culinary History in the Old South, will be released in August. He hopes it will encourage people to acknowledge uncomfortable histories and talk about them, and see how food can be a powerful vehicle to bring people together.
You know, in 2013, I did a dinner at Stagville Plantation in Durham, 150 people. You know, I did invite Paula Deen. She never showed up after my infamous letter to her. And but it was about bringing people together, and it was in the shadow of the slave cabins there. Almost all the food was prepared 19th century style. You know, open fires, cast iron skillets, wooden utensils. And when we sat down to eat in the shadow of these four remaining slave cabins, this plantation had 900 enslaved individuals across its history. It just dawned on me that the ancestors who had worked and lived and died there could never have dreamed that we would be honoring them in that way with this many diverse people. So I think we achieved a miracle, you know. Knowing it or not, so that's my whole mission behind this, is not just to sort of like uncover pieces of myself, but use that to really transform the way people look at race in America and to move the conversation beyond this is mine and this is yours to this is ours and this is we and this is us.
Michael Twitty's work at Colonial Williamsburg also continues. He'll be developing the Sankofa Food Lab, a research station and test kitchen to further explore the culinary traditions and techniques of the African Atlantic. For Virginia Currents, I'm Catherine Kump, WCVE News.